agenda, but might be good. Got it.
And with Sandra out, I'll go ahead and present what's going on.
Okay. Do we need to call the meeting? Judy, do you want to do the honors?
Oh, sure. I'll call the meeting to order. Today is 28th of July, 2022, and the time is 3:09 p.m. And I'm calling to order the loan committee to review a loan request. Well, let's have a roll call.
Dre Thompson, Wendy McBroom,
Judy Klinko,
Mimi Petro,
Gabriel Gomez.
All right.
Okay, Gabe, do you want to present the loan to us?
Sure. So we reviewed before about a month ago, well, less than that, maybe 3 weeks ago, for a smaller loan size. Which originally was approved. The loan was originally $200,000. This is for Borderlands Taproom Concepts. For just a little refresher here, they are, as we know, kind of one of the earlier breweries with that big brewery trend that we had, craze we had in the early teens. And they are looking to open up a second location as well as a third, which I'll get to in a little bit. Location on 5th and Tucson across from Flores Market. They are partnering with, and I haven't looked at this recently, what's her name? Maria Mazza, is that her name?
Mazon,
thank you. Maria Mazon, there we go. Yep. With Boca Tacos. She's not an owner in this, but she is partnering in this venture. She's building the menu. As we all know, Boca Tacos, real popular. It's been featured in, you know, Food Network, New York Times, all kinds of stuff. She's won several awards. So she's got a really nice name. It's great for Tucson, that have her in our city with all the recognition she's getting. Currently at Borderlands, there's a little taco truck outside, but you know, I don't think you'd go there for lunch. You know, it's really just a taco stand. I don't even think that taco truck is open during the day. There is indoor seating, but a lot of it is the outdoor area. This will allow them to have a true restaurant / you know, brew pub, I guess you could call it, atmosphere, which is, you know, what they're looking for. Obviously, there's, you know, food is going to bring in a lot more people, not just those looking for beer. Because it's going to be a restaurant, they're going to be able to offer more than just beer. They'll bring in wines and liquor as well. So they'll be able to do more for those who, you know, don't want beer. So that'll be attractive. It's going to be close to the U of A. So walking distance for the Sam Hughes neighborhood, across from Flores Market, which has done really well, which is a customer of IDA as well. A few other restaurants and bars in that area. So I think it's a great corner. It was a PJ Subs is where they are going. I'll be honest, sadly, I never went to PJ Subs for some reason. So I don't really know much about it, but they ultimately did close. So they are taking that spot. What they are doing is, or what they were asking for originally was a $200,000 loan, which a majority of it was gonna cover renovations. Surprise, surprise, a month later, they finally get their final bid in and it's higher than they had originally budgeted. As we're kind of, obviously we do lending for a living and construction costs are just higher than they were. That's just the way that the world is currently. Now, part of that is they did add some additional work to the patio area. There is a patio area there now. They want to expand that to give more outdoor seating. That was not part of the original budget. They decided to go ahead and do that now than later. So that did add to the increase of it, but that was, you know, maybe 25% of the increase. The other 75% is it's just more expensive. So with the request to increase the total loan by $100,000 to a total of $300,000, this is a participation with BDFC. So the BDFC will do $150,000. It still needs to get approved by BDFC's loan committee, but our management, aka Gary, is like, yeah, I mean, like, totally in support of this. So I don't think I'll have any problems next week when I get to BDFC's loan committee. The city, I don't know how much they review what we send them, but they did sign off on the original loan. So I think they'll be fine with the increase as well. Technically, these loans, since it is a revolving loan fund that we do manage for them. And yeah, that's basically the of it. From a cash flow standpoint, that kind of stuff, honestly, it doesn't change things too much. In the grand scheme of things, it's not a huge increase when it comes to payment changes. Sure, $100,000, I mean, that's a lot for me. But when it comes to payment it really doesn't change things too much. So from a grading standpoint, from a risk standpoint, et cetera, cash flow is still fine. It is based off projections, which we did a full analysis on based on other similar businesses that we have financed in BDSC's portfolio. Break-evens reach at about 90% of projected revenues, which is kind of about average, is usually what we see, anywhere from 85 to 90. It might even be less. I didn't do changes in cost of goods sold, et cetera, which if your sales go down, COGS usually go down as well. We didn't bother with all that just to keep it as conservative as possible. So break-even might be even below 90% for now. And their margins were all in line with industry averages. So they've been doing this for a long time. The Borderlands itself brewery is made up of a number of owners. I know I have it in here somewhere. This is going to be three individuals. Ed Tadon, who's currently the main operator of Borderlands, he joined in a number of years ago. Then he's got a couple of buddies, basically Jose Delgado and Rogelio Quintero. Jose's got income, very good outside income. So he's a very good strength of this credit. Again, public record, I won't go into too much details, but let's just say he is very strong. So he does have good outside income that can help support the loan in the event that things don't go so well. We are still getting the guarantee of Borderlands Brewing Company. So that's the main entity that has been operating for 10 plus years. And we are taking a interest on the equipment owned by Borderlands, which we did get appraised. It came in at 440. I have it down here somewhere. I updated it. 441 is what it appraised at. Our loan of $300,000 will be fully secured. So that's nice. A lot of these loans that we do sometimes, even if it's real estate, we're like at 100% loan to value or even higher. So we actually do have good collateral coverage on equipment. Brewery equipment is all steel, stainless steel. One thing I've learned from the number of breweries I have financed throughout the years is that equipment is in high demand and increase in value, assuming you take care of it. All breweries take very good care of the equipment because they have to. It's got to be clean. It's got to be shiny. The minute it gets dirty, the beer doesn't taste good. So brewery equipment is generally speaking really cared for and really valuable. So there's some good value in that. I was actually kind of surprised that it appraised at what it did. I thought it'd be closer to 300,000. Usually you take what the borrower gives you and cut it in half. But no, he was pretty right on. So good loan to value there, even after our loan. We think the additional $100,000 we approve. From a BDSC standpoint, and we want to make sure we give them a loan that's going to give them enough money to be successful and open. We do have a final bid. It's right at $300,000. The rest of that, which is a contingency, there's some small amount of equipment, which is tables, chairs, that kind of stuff. Some working capital for inventory. And then, of course, there's the fees that go to BDSC and IDA. So total project is about $390,000. They'll be putting in $90,000 of their own money. It's going to be more than that, honestly. They've already paid, for example, plans, stuff like that. I didn't bother putting that in here, but they've been already paid for architect, et cetera. So they're putting in more than $90,000. But from what I'm showing that we're going to capture is what you see here on the first page. I did mention a third location that Andrea had asked some good questions on that prior to today's meeting. So they are looking at opening up a third location similar to this on the northwest side of town. They were speaking to a kind of a partner lender, CIC, on this. One of the questions is collateral. CIC was curious, how's the collateral work? And I told them, well, part of our approvals, we have to be in first. I mean, that's just what we want. We're not really going to budge on that. We're not going to do pari sue or you share lien positions. We want to be first by ourselves. There is a little bit of room left over after our loan of about, $140,000. I don't know if CIC is going to move forward. It's kind of a big loan for them. I was a little surprised when he mentioned them. So it's a different ownership on that one. He's going to have a few more investors in that project. He's also getting a nice TI allowance on that one of around $130,000. So that project really won't need as much financing as this one does. He even asked me, would we be interested if CIC can't do it? I told him, generally speaking, we like to finance one project, get it running before we really look at another one. And he understood. So I mean, unless IDA really would like to pursue that, generally speaking, and in our history, we kind of like to do one, see how it goes. And if there is opportunities to open up another one or refinance maybe another loan he's got, then maybe at that point we'll look at it in the theory of one project at a time. So that's the story behind that one. But our collateral position, which was the big question, will be protected. That is a condition of our approval. We have to be in first.
Okay.
I have a few questions. Yes. When did this loan request first come to you?
For this one that we're looking at?
No, the original loan.
Yeah, the original loan. I can tell you. Give me 2 seconds here. I created a file right around May, late April, early May.
I would think that if they hadn't gotten their final bid in, they should have waited until they got their final bid in to come and make the request.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I'll be honest, even on our real estate projects, this is not uncommon. What they'll do is businesses will try to secure financing first. And here's what I'm looking for. Can I get a loan? Because if I can't get a loan, either we need to squash the project or get creative. So in many of our real estate projects, we'll start off with just a 2-page bid that a contractor put on letterhead and said, you know, subject to everything.
Okay.
And it's enough for us to get comfortable with it. And in today's world, believe it or not, yeah, they go up quite frequently. So
yeah, so that answered my question. And okay. Then the question is, you say that the one partner has the resources. Where do those resources come from?
Salary. He's got a good job.
Yeah. What does he do?
He is the COO for, I'm going to butcher this name, Aniquim. They basically, he actually does a lot of work in Mexico. And what they do is they partner with Spanish-speaking people in Mexico that work for U.S.-based companies who need Spanish-speaking. I went to their website and kind of looked at it. It's like, you know, call centers or maybe press 2 for Spanish. It goes to Mexico. So what he does is he works for this company that does that. Virtual assistants, as they're called, but they're bilingual.
Okay, one last question. Who brought to your attention that they were opening a third location?
He actually called me kind of shortly before Dre had found out as well about the collateral position. Since CIC was looking at that, he said, you know, we're looking at location and how would that work? So
he didn't reveal to you. He didn't reveal to you that they were doing a third location until today.
No, well, this was like late last week. It was 2 days ago. Yeah, a couple
okay,
days
two
ago.
2 days ago. Okay. Yeah. But he didn't reveal that to you when he came to you and asked for an increase in the amount that they wanted to borrow.
No, I don't think that was brought up at that time.
Okay.
That was just what was kind of, it was just a little odd to me that, I mean, so the way that I understood it, they've been in contract planning to open this third location for a very long time. But there were, you know, they couldn't get the lease signed, this and that. And so then they both of the leases kind of came in at the same time. I just like wondered, it just was a little bit odd to not kind of talk about, you know, it feels like a little bit of a risk to open two restaurants at the same time. I know that's the ballsy thing that Patricia would do. So maybe it's not that scary, but it just seems like a little bit of a stretch. And then the budgets are kind of inflating. It kind of puts me in a little bit of a nervous position.
I'm super late, but I do have a couple questions. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Sure.
Are we requiring guarantors, personal guarantees?
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, every loan we do has personal guarantees. So we have...
And on the deal, the original deal over there at the Rich Rogers building on 6, who's signing as a guarantors? Who will
the
be
three
signing?
Owners. Yes, the three owners, which is Esteban, Rogelio, and Jose and his wife.
Okay, so these are Borderland...
employees?
Well, no. I mean, you're telling me that if they're signing, they must be owners or they must have some ownership in the LLC. Is this a separate LLC than the original Borderlands?
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. The current Borderlands has literally, I think it's around 100 investors. It's a lot of little people that have 1%.
So, like a syndication. I don't know how you call it.
I'm sorry. Of course, someone shows up at the door. Give me 1 second. I'll let you guys talk. 1 second.
Patricia, so it looks like Borderlands Brewing Company, which I think is the entity that operates the one downtown on Tool, that's going to be a guarantor.
So
and the humans. And the humans.
So the humans are ES, which I guess we need to just make sure that he has signing ability, like he's actually a partner, right?
Yeah, it's...
And then Rogelio and these other people, the same. And I was going to ask another question. I heard, because I hear things, that I forgot her name, but the chef...
Maria Boca, yeah.
Maria, partner in that deal, right?
She's a 25% partner in the one up north, not on our
street. She is listed.
The Rick Rogers one. You're sure that he's not on this one?
Yeah, she's not an owner of this project. No, she's involved and her name's attached to it, but she's not an owner.
She is listed though as a member on the ACC.
Okay.
So it looks like it's member managed. It's got the four, S, Jose, Rogelio, and Maria.
Just from my little experience in real estate, if she's going to be an operator, which is my understanding, that they are licensing the brand and she's the operator, she needs to have some responsibility on the loan.
That was one of the questions I had, was what's her relationship with Borderlands?
The way I heard through the grapevine or whatever, grapevine in downtown, is that she will operate. It would have the label of Borderlands as the main beer on site, right? And they'll have their label there. But that she's the operator, because she'll be the one running the food part. And that's becoming kind of more common. People are doing that also, like 1055 is doing that with Eris, with Nathan Eris, and different people are doing that, which is not a new way of doing business. But if she's going to be the operator, I would think she needs to have, she must be on the loan or be a signer, because something goes wrong and she goes, well, I didn't sign, right? And if she's, I mean, we just need to understand if she's the operator.
Yeah, the articles I have for Borderlands Taproom Concepts, which is our entity here, she's not listed. And there's, unless there's been a recent amendment, granted, I haven't looked in a few weeks, but.
Who's on the lease?
Not her, it's.
Can the lease be assigned?
Yeah, she's listed on the ACC records for Borderlands Taproom Concepts. It was last updated May 16th.
Okay.
So she's a partner.
Looks yeah, like if she has ownership, then well, yes, she requires the guarantee. You know, we can we take a guarantee of someone who doesn't have ownership? We can. You got consideration, then you got to deal with. Because what's her consideration? Providing a guarantee as she has no ownership in the business. And that's usually a monetary consideration.
But it looks like she does have ownership. And if she's the operator, I just feel like the money is going to be invested in the improvements, right, of the space, which will benefit the operator directly. And as an operator, you want the operator to have some kind of responsibility, right? Of that loan. Otherwise, where they're just Borderlands is just like the middle guy. I mean, we need to, I mean, it's not that complicated. I think that if she's the operator, she should participate on the as a responsible party, as a guarantor. She needs to, we need to, I would like to know that. And
yeah, she's your question about she's on the lease, she didn't sign the lease, just the three guys and the spouse did.
Okay, well, maybe she's, I don't know, it would, I mean, maybe just a quick question and let's just ask if she's going to be an active, like, operator. And that doesn't mean that she's the one cooking, but, I mean, it's her concept, the kitchen part, the food part.
And yeah, no, I don't think she's going to be, yeah, like you said, cooking on a daily basis, but she is building the menu, you know, probably put together the dishes, that kind of thing. I mean, she's got her own restaurant to run, so I don't think she'll be here on a daily basis, but... but she is, yeah.
But she's going to be the operator. So the sales have to be, what, 40, 60? And she's going to have, I mean, she's going to have a big stake in the operation. So I don't know why she's not part of the part of the loan.
Yeah, let me take a look here.
And then I have another question. So it sounds like that's outstanding. I had also heard reference to Borderlands had an additional $250,000 debt from an SBA loan previously. Has that been fully cleared, or is that was my understanding that there was another sort of debt position on the collateral, the same collateral?
You mean the SBA loans that were like granted or given or awarded to a lot of people during the pandemic?
Not a grant. It was a $250 loan that was outstanding that was using our same piece of collateral. So I was just curious if you had heard anything about that, Gabe, or not.
This no. Yeah, no. I'm not aware of, of a loan that they have.
As far as you know, our collateral is free and clear. There's no other claim.
Right. Yeah, and if there is, yeah, that would obviously squash things. But they had a PPP loan.
Yeah,
that could be it, but that doesn't take collateral.
No. It was another sort of bid on the collateral we had. So as long as we have the collateral out free and clear, that's good to know.
Yeah, and that's an important thing that we'll have to address. If they did get an EIDL loan, EIDL loans will subordinate. There's a process to that. It's not a guarantee they'll subordinate, but we have had to deal with that before. So I'll have to look into that.
So one question that I think it was in an email I sent, and I don't know if I missed that response. What is their monthly rent?
I'm sorry, say it again?
What would be their monthly rent?
Yeah, it's right here. It's $4,200 a month.
And that's probably triple net, right? I assume?
Yes.
Okay, so then our loan...
let me double check.
Much?
I'm sorry, say it again?
How much would be the loan payment to us? Monthly loan payments? Or to BDFC? I mean, how much is it?
Yeah, let me bring it up. $4,800 a month.
More than the rent?
Yes.
Okay, so then we're at 9,000 a month before utilities, right?
Yeah.
And insurance and these and payroll and da-da-da-da-da.
Oh, yeah. I mean, of course, they have all their other expenses attached to it, correct.
How many square feet is it? The space is not that big, right? It's, what, a couple thousand or more?
$2,600.
And then their estimated...
Interior. Then you got the patio, but I don't have the space for that.
Right. The estimated annual gross that they gave you?
I'll have to look up. One second. Where is it? There we go.
Are they opening lunch and dinner, or just dinner, or lunch and dinner?
Lunch and dinner.
Okay. I'm gonna guess.
Make a guess for us, Patricia. Million. What's that?
$1,000,002, that would be probably conservative if they do okay in that corner. I don't know. I mean, with parking, they should be able to do that. But what do they? Maybe they gave you more.
Oh, for projections?
Mm-hmm. For the annual projection gross.
Are you looking for the CAM cost or the sales?
Sales.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I misunderstood you. I thought you were looking for CAM. $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000, $1,000,000
Good job.
Well, because I mean, I'm just kind of imagining the square feet and the people and the price per point and his beer and his kind of not very expensive food, I assume, right? I mean, his tacos and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, their average ticket price, which they gave to us, I think I have it in the write up here. In the 20s, when you take into account beer and everything, you know, lunch is obviously not everyone's going to drink at lunch. So that was a little cheaper in price. You know, dinner with a couple beers is that's going to be the bigger ticket.
I mean, I think the numbers are doable. They're just going to have to be, I mean, $9,000 just between the rent and the loan. I mean, that's a chunk of money. So hopefully they're good administrators. I just always worry, I mean, because I'm in that business and you have so many expenses and $9,000 a month is a chunk of money. Mm.
Well, that's where my concern is with, in addition to a whole third location, that's even more like, you know, that adds to your monthly.
I don't think you put it that way, Dre, because I mean, every business has to be self-sufficient, right?
Yeah.
So if they do something on the Northwest, that's a complete different animal. And that maybe even the price point is higher because people spend more money over there and they can push some other whatever. This is kind of, it's a really nice corner. Everybody knows it, right? It's a fun corner, but I would imagine it's going to be kind of casual fun, right? And it's doable, but I think, I mean, if they're thinking it and planning properly, every entity has to carry its own, but yes, the humans have to be controlling all the expenses in all of them, right? So they need to be careful.
But well, I'm hearing from you and Gabe that the addition of a third location doesn't really impact your thoughts about this deal and to treat them totally separate and not
freak me out, because they better have a plan, right? They must have managers and budgets and all of the same thing over there, so they shouldn't be commingling monies or support. I think they should. Hopefully, they're expecting that every business is self-sufficient. And I think that's 9,000 is a lot, but it's doable, I guess. Hopefully, good administrators.
Yeah.
Yeah, and our payment's a little high.
It's a big loan for us. You know, it's kind of one of our biggest ones. So that's why even, you know, have it, so it's pretty big, and then that's where kind of the concern. We just want to feel really good about it if we're going to even increase that.
So Gabe, a couple other questions that you probably already talked about a lot. So where is the estimated opening date?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, they're hoping for fall, you know, when school's in and it's cooler and people are going out, but it's going to depend heavily on how quickly the GC can do their piece. He's ready to go, but they need financing wrapped up before they'll start on it.
So let's say what, fall, you said like November?
Yeah, I think actually, I've got the construction here. I think it's three draws is what they're looking at. Maybe it's four. But as we know, you run into delays and things take longer than you had hoped.
Yeah,
but they would love to open in the fall is their kind of goal.
And then the documents read that when do they start paying? Like how soon after they open, or when does the payment start happening?
So what we do is we do a 6 month interest only period. That's their draw period. So they would have 6 months where they're only going to pay interest on what they've used as a loan. So let's say we close, this will make it easy, August 1st. We're not going to, but let's say it's August 1st. And in that first month, they spend $75,000 of that money for the contractor. Their payment on September 1st would be interest. In month two, let's say they pull out another $100,000. So now their total outstanding balance is $175,000. They would pay interest on that amount, et cetera, until the loan is fully drawn, which should be less than 6 months. But we always just build in 6 months just to allow for that additional time. And then at the end of the 6 month period is when they'll have their first principal and interest payment that I quoted you, $4,500. That's when that'll begin.
And is the, so it's a 7 year term. They have a 7.5 year lease. Do we know how far into the, I'm sure they've got options to extend, but do we know how far into the lease they are?
Just recently signed. They get 6 months, is it three or six? I got it in here in the write up. Six months free. Yeah, I think it went into effect in May or June.
Oh, yeah. Term begins April 1st.
April 1st. Okay, there you go. I did this recently.
By August, September, October. So by November, they need to start paying.
Yeah, because we don't want, I mean, I'm sure that they'll, if they're doing well, they'll extend. But if they don't, we don't want outstanding lease if they don't, we don't want outstanding loan if they don't have a lease.
Right, which is where we got that 7-year, you know, period from. So we might be a month or two longer because of that 6-month draw period, which we can shorten if necessary. But that's where we got the term of around 7 years because the lease is 7 years. So yeah. I agree. I'm assuming that's successful. I'm sure. I don't see why Rich Rogers would not want that, but that's why we kept it at 7 years because you never know. Normally we do 10, but in this case we had to do 7 because of the lease.
That's the lease. Do we need a landlord subordination on our loan, on our lien? Technically, we should be in first position as long as our lien attaches to the equipment before it's installed at the space. Once if it's the other way around, we are subject to the landlord taking it under a statutory lease.
Correct. Yeah. So we are obtaining landlord waivers on obviously this location, which doesn't have a lot of equipment, but we are taking it. Most importantly, on the brewery location, which is the one over by.
Oh, that's where the equipment is?
Correct. Yeah. The equipment's not going to be here. I mean, there's some equipment.
Oh, okay.
But the main equipment, the equipment that has value. And that landlord waiver is out there. It's got to get notarized and stuff like that. So that's being worked on. And then we also took a landlord waiver on the original location on Tool Avenue. And I can't remember what that crossroad is. We also have a landlord waiver on that one. So when it's all said and done, we're going to have 3 landlord waivers.
Okay. And do you do UCC searches?
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's all going to be part of our closing process. So, yeah, if there is an EIDL loan for taking up some of that collateral, yeah, that could very well be an issue. But yes, we do that.
Okay.
Yep.
And then I saw that the under the original one that had Voltron Brewing Company as a guarantor, and I looked them up.
And that was a mistake. So at Voltron, I initially thought the way they had explained it to me that that was their brewing entity. And yes, it does do some brewing, but that's actually owned half by the Sentinel Brewing guys, that's brewing. That's basically Sentinel Brewing, which is the old fire truck brewing.
That's
company.
Why it's brew by, because you drill down, it's just owned by entities, and it's all brew by fire and
like. Yeah, it's a little messy, and that's why. So our guys, or at least Borderlands, join with those guys, and they do some of their brewing through that entity, some of the wholesale side. So I thought it was 100% Borderlands. So we were just going to take it, just to take it. But when we did some more digging and realized, no, they don't really own all of it. It's owned by another entity. And that's just 3 guys is not going to agree to an entity of theirs to guarantee a loan that they have no interest in.
Okay. So for me, we could find out if the chef operator, if she can participate, she can sign that for me, would give me a little more confidence that whoever is going to be responsible for the shop is part of the loan. But otherwise, I don't know. Hopefully we wish them well, right? I don't know.
I mean, I would assume that we have all the
If Maria is an owner,
personal guarantee. She's listed as an owner.
Yeah, and if that's how it stays, yeah, I agree. We'll have to capture her, which, again, I don't know what her financial strength is. I mean, she's running restaurants. But regardless, because of her ownership in the entity, yes, she would end up being required. So that's going to require a little bit more research on my end.
Yeah, I'm not trying to go after her own. I mean, she may have even terrible credit, or I don't care. But I mean, she still needs to be. I think you need humans that are working in the spaces responsible.
Mm-hmm.
So they find some attachment to the loan. I don't know. Yeah. That's just
spouses, right? We always get spousals.
Yeah, we always get spouses. Only one's married, Jose. The other two are not.
And what happens if we don't get them the requested increase and we just approved what we had approved?
Yeah, so if you want to stay at 100, then I would go to BDFC and say if we want to increase our limit. Normally we're capped at 150 ourselves. but if we'd be willing to go up to 200,000. So that's plan B.
So right now we're just trying to split it 150-150?
That's generally what we do, yes.
Mm-hmm. So our commitment is 150.
Right now it's 100 is what was approved.
But we're trying to go to 150.
Correct.
Yeah.
Now, well, I don't want to think bad.
Hopefully, well, we have $500,000 total per year to distribute, right? And 150 is a big chunk of 500,000. Doesn't give us a whole lot more in terms of people to, you know, of companies to finance.
So Gabe, one more question. So they're going to do draws, and can we do something, and I don't know if that's even practical, where we have the $100,000 that has been already agreed and the $50,000 will just be used in case they do reach that point where they need the extra 50 at that very end?
No, they're going to need it.
Yeah, I mean, the bid's for 300, so I don't think that'll come into play unless they cut costs down the road or it comes in under, which rarely happens in our experience. Use it. If they have it, they're going to use it. If it let's say it came in at 270 or 260 when it's all said and done, I mean, could BDFC take the 160 and you guys do the other 100? I mean, yeah, in theory, but I'd be shocked if this comes in under budget. We just don't see that really ever. Especially in today's world.
Okay.
So are you guys ready to call for a vote?
How do you feel?
Me?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I think we should stick with 100. I don't like the idea that they didn't reveal to you that they were opening this third shop. And I know it's separate. And how long has this company been in business, Borderland?
Borderlands is 10 plus years, but it was originally started by three guys out of U of A. And I'll be honest, I don't know the history behind that, but they're no longer involved. It's got 100 investors that have all kind of thrown in money into that. Our guy joined a number of years ago, 3, 4, 5 years ago, and he came in. I think he was originally an investor. And then when those three guys, for whatever reason, are no longer involved, S stepped in as really the managing person. That's his job. He doesn't do anything else. So he's a full-time employee/owner of Borderlands Tap Room. Borderlands Brewery. So he's the main guy. Our two other guys currently have no ownership in the brewery itself. They're joining with S to open up this tap room. I don't know if he approached any of his current investors about interest in the tap room or not. That I'm not 100% sure on.
So if they didn't succeed, we could step in, acquire the equipment, right? And then you would sell the equipment and we would get paid. Is that how it would come down?
Collateral number one, you know, that's the first thing you try to liquidate and get paid back on. At that point, there's a deficiency. Then it goes to the courts to go after the personal guarantees. Mm-hmm. If it's $20,000, at that point, we probably just say it's not worth it because we're going to spend more on legal fees than that. So it's like, all right, you know, we'll put a judgment on them. And if for some reason they come back to us 10 years from now and say, hey, there's a judgment on us, we'll say, well, you still owe us some money. I mean, we've done that plenty of times. What usually happens in our experience is they'll file bankruptcy. And at that point, the courts decide if we're going to get anything or not, if it gets to the personal level. But ideally, the collateral is what you want to liquidate.
And how long does it take to liquidate the collateral, that kind of collateral?
Well, it depends. I mean, there's a legal process you have to go through initially. You basically take ownership of it.
Are there legal fees involved in that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's costs associated with, which usually get handed off to the borrower. Okay. So let's say they owe us $200,000. We'll say after everything, you actually owe us $220,000, wherever the case is.
I got it. Okay.
Yeah. Ideally, we try to find a buyer. If worst comes to worst, then it goes to auction, mm-hmm. Which you're going to get, you know, 50 cents on the dollar, whatever the case mm-hmm. is. But hopefully the equipment has somewhat held its value, you know, with maybe $150,000 and we still get paid in full.
Right.
But that's generally how it works.
We just didn't do well on Planet Smoothie.
That was different. That's, the equipment had hardly any value on that one. Slushy machines, smoothie machines.
All right.
Mimi, what do you think?
And I don't get to vote.
Okay. You know, this is my first one. And so I don't know how we sort of ultimately evaluate the dollar that we're throwing in, but I don't have a problem going up a little higher. I think the location's good. It's still, you know, they're right next to Wendy's Tumerico, which is excellent. So there's a bit of a competition, but they're different, I think, enough. It'd be nice to draw the old fat lawyers that hang out at Bob Dobbs and get them across the street. I do think it's a good location. If they get good outdoor space, the people that live in Sam Hughes are going to be COVID conscious. They'll want outdoor space, but I think it's a good spot. I personally don't have any issue going from 200, going up another 50,000. I'd want to know a little bit more how they, because they're using an LLC for each location, and that make sure that they've got the rights to use. If Maria's an owner, they can use her branding. And I would assume that they have the right to use the Borderlands branding, that they're not creating a new brand. So especially because there's a different ownership makeup of Borderlands proper and then this one. But if that all works, I don't have any problem going to 300 or 150 for us.
But you would just also would like Maria probably to be a signer?
Personally, yeah, and find out if she's married. I don't know if she's got a wife or not. But yeah, no, I do think that, as you said, you need some skin in the game.
So I guess if we can figure that out, Gabe, then we can, what do we do? We come back and approve, or what are the steps at this point then?
Yeah, so, well, we can do a couple of things. You can say our approval is contingent on the following, no ifs, ands, or buts. You can say, well, about this, and then bring it back to us. You know, you can say as is. So if Maria has ownership in the business, I agree, she should guarantee the loan. And it looks like she may be taking ownership in it. If she has no ownership in the business, do you still want her guarantee? That, in my experience, will be challenging.
I think she wouldn't guarantee if she doesn't have an ownership interest, but then we need to see. So then what's the relationship? Because then she can just pull the plug and walk.
True.
And so then you've got.
Do you have a bunch of book?
Yeah. I mean, as it appears right now, it looks like she has recently added herself as an owner, or at least they did added as an owner. So that'll be an easy issue. But let's say they say, oh, well, she doesn't really want to guarantee, so they'll remove her. Then what do you want to do?
Then they need to figure out why she doesn't want to guarantee. She needs to guarantee.
Yeah, and understand sort of what their relationship is. Full disclosure, I went to Boca Tacos last night. Brought over to my in-laws.
So you're a fan of that
chef, man. She makes bean salsa.
I don't know. I think it's worth asking, Gabe.
Well, then let's just do this then. Rather than voting now with a bunch of ifs and that, you know, type tree, let me get back to you guys.
Do we need to have another meeting, or we can vote by email? No, we need to have a meeting, right?
That I don't know on your bylaws. I know BFC can do email votes, and we do them when we can't get in-person quorums.
That's the only
way we can.
We can do email voting, yeah.
We can doing a public notice.
Oh, that's true. I don't – yeah, you guys are a little funny that way. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, if we were private, I think – I'm not quite sure, but we can't – but it's just voting to move it forward to the board.
Oh, right? That's
true.
So we could. I would be okay. Me personally, I would be okay adding that tree, saying, provided there's A, B, C, and D, we vote to approve the loan to bring it to the full board. And then that gives us the ability, because that's not final approval of the loan, that gives us the ability to flesh it all out.
And that gives us time, right? I think that sounds good to me.
Do you want to make that motion, Mimi?
Yes. I move that we, Patricia, are you okay with the 150?
Yeah, I'm okay with the 150 if yes.
Because okay, so.
Not that much, really. I mean, it kind of limits our other 350 to who we're going to lend. And that was what Judy was saying, I think. Okay. But hopefully these guys are great and we get our loan payments. And then
there's another deal out there.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I move that we approve the $150,000 participation if BDFC approves, provided that Maria, and if she's married, her wife sign personal guarantees. What were the other stipulations? And that they provide some answers that are satisfactory for what Gabe is going to track down. Do we need to be more specific?
Yeah.
We do need to be more specific? No.
I think if we could just review that. In,
yeah.
All right. Yeah. So then I will, and her ownership, if there's any, you know, agreements, that kind of thing. If she's an owner, well, there's your agreement. If there isn't an owner, well, what's the agreement? And as an owner, she got the guarantee. If she's not, or they remove her as an owner, then what binding do you have that, like you said, it ensures that she doesn't exit in 3 months?
What is the collaboration contract agreement that they have?
Okay.
Anything else on that, Mimi?
I don't think so.
Okay. So we're going to call for a vote on the motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? There being no opposition, the motion passed as stated.
Why can't you vote?
Because I'm not on the committee.
Oh,
I'm just sitting in because I went to round one with this funding.
Got
with
it.
This funding request. Yeah, and you guys are going to be on it.
So who is voting? Just Mimi and I?
Yep. Yeah, Sandra's.
And that's a quorum. Because we have quorum. Got to go to the doctors.
Two or three.
Okay, well, yay.
Okay, so we're all set.
I have one question real quick. Sure. Yeah, you had mentioned the $500,000 per year. Is that new? I know your max limit increased to $500,000 for one loan, which we never got. But are you now capping your loans that you want to do per year to $500,000?
I thought we were capped at I don't know. What do you know?
In a past document from the early 2000s, there was a suggestion that our community loan fund stay at $500,000. Though our cash position has changed significantly since then, so we are not limited by any specific reason why we have to stop at $500,000. And so that's kind of what is sort of on record, but we would like to do at least $500,000 a year, and we don't have a specific cap as of right now.
So then that's great. So this is our one or some other loans, and I always bother about these, but if we approve it, I would like a banner saying this project has been
funded by the IDA
and BDFC. I'm always
going to... Didn't we have a banner like that at one time?
We had it. I don't know where those are, but if we don't have it, we need a new one.
And Pueblo Vida never did an IDA IPA. Somebody needs to make an IDA IPA.
People be like, what is that?
Their beer's better.
Yeah, banners are fine. We don't have any. I think there was one created at some point, and problem is, it's not a problem. It's the nature that happened. Construction finished, and they throw it away, right? So we probably need to order some more, or IDA needed to order some more. I know.
Let's order some. Karen did it
7-8 years ago. There might be a template somewhere. I have no clue. Marketing materials is not my specialty.
Dre can come up with something beautiful, and to me, it's just great advertising right there on Six. I mean, that's just everybody sees it. Everybody will be wondering what's happening in that corner. And people need to know that we're actively supporting these local businesses.
Coach.
Great. Yeah. So I don't know, Wendy or Dre, if you want to get with Karen and see who we use in the past. It's been a long time.
Yeah, we can make a fresh one. I'm just curious if you can run it by them. It would be great to have something in the window while they're still doing construction, while it's kind of construction zone, if we can put something up. And then I can make like a little window sticker that, you know, if they'd be willing to put somewhere, that would be great.
Yeah, but
big ass signs. So when we drive by, I drive by it every day.
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah, I think we had one for.
I don't like that when they're fully open, but during construction, if we have a big sign, okay.
Yeah, I think the last one we did was Gibson's Market.
Gibson Market.
Finished, and the guy said, "I don't know it. I don't know what happened to it." So the GC probably threw it away. But yeah, if we're gonna get some more, I can make that a. As a matter of fact, our loan agreement does specifically state that they will allow us to use promotional materials during the phase of the loan. So no one ever reads it, but it's technically in our loan agreement.
Okay, great. Perfect. And then we'll get them a little window sticker that they can have moving forward.
Okay.
Good.
All right.
Well, I'll get back to you soon with those answers.
All right.
No further business. So we're going to close this meeting, bring it to an agenda. We'll bring the meeting to a closing. Those all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right.
Cherry, bye. Have a great evening.
Bye, guys.
Yeah, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.